From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 371, ADFS and OAuth 2, with guest John Craddock, recorded Thursday, May 15th, 2014. Run As Radio is produced each week by WAP Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. I'm here at TechEd. It's the end of the third day, and I ran across John Craddock. And John, you've never been on my show before, which I find embarrassing, because you're kind of a staple, at least in the ADFS world.
Yeah, well, like, you've never invited me. That's the reason.
Totally my fault. Tell the folks a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I work out of the UK as an infrastructure and security architect, but the practice these days is pretty much around the world. I specialize in identity, federation, Active Directory, but actually anything nasty and tricky I like. although I have this theoretical role as an architect, I still like to get my hands dirty. So you will find me in the data center troubleshooting problems. Particularly, I enjoy networking. I enjoy things like IPv6, direct access. So, one of the things I've done for years, in fact, I figured it out, is this is my 17th TechEd I've spoken at. Not 17th TechEd, sorry, it's the 17th year.
Okay, so 17 years.
So
back.
It's a lot of TechEds.
97? I think he started in 96, dude. You may have almost spoken at them all.
No, I attended the second ever TechEd as an attendee.
Oh, okay.
So I did, I think, 3 years as an attendee, and then you've been speaking ever since.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Like I said, it is sort of charity work for Microsoft, right?
I would never say that. It's supporting Microsoft in the cause.
And it's a massive show.
Yes.
You know, I mean, this is where you get 1,000 people that care about identity in one room all at once. I mean, I've got to imagine you packed a few big rooms in this week.
I'd say it's sort of more along the 500 to 700 in terms
still
of.
Still a big room.
It's a big room.
Yeah,
but,
no kidding.
I mean, it's still a little bit of an esoteric subject. However, with the work Microsoft are doing on Microsoft Azure Active Directory.
Right.
The identity space is changing dramatically.
It's a serious complication to put real services in the cloud, but have the identity rules still sitting on premises. Like, that's not an easy thing to solve.
No, I mean, this is where your sort of federated protocols come in.
Right.
And I mean, the challenge with that is you either go to a third party identity provider,
right,
who actually looks after the federation of your users for you, or you deploy something like you deploy a security token service on premise.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the offering from Microsoft is ADFS.
Right.
Now, the latest version of ADFS, which I must correct anyone that uses the term ADFS version 3.
You're not allowed to call it that?
It is not. You're not allowed to call it that.
Okay.
It is actually, it's ADFS on server 2012 R2.
Okay.
All right.
The fact that it might be the third version of ADFS is not important.
It's not important.
Okay.
But, I mean, you will see on the internet, you will see references to people calling it version 3.
Okay.
Even I think I've seen some TechNet blogs in which it's called version 3, but because I was concerned about this, so I asked the product group, and they said, no, it's nope, ADFS on server 2012
R2. R2.
So there's been a lot of changes in that, all for the better.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you've now got the sort of mass appeal of the Azure Active Directory.
Yeah, absolutely.
And lots of opportunities of working between that and your on-premise as well.
Well, in the early days of Federation, this was something we were only going to use when we had organizations that needed to be connected together in some way. It was an acquisition, or they had a long-term vendor partnership or something, and you were trying to save pain for these two groups of people to be able to, you know, sort of represent security to each other. The other way of saying that was to say Federation worked great when nobody used it. But now, because the cloud has become so important, and Azure specifically has really stepped up to the game with an amazing group of services, we need to use Federation a lot. I just wonder if it's grown up enough that regular mortal IT folks can make it work. It's not just the realm of wizards.
It's certainly going in that direction.
Okay.
I mean, the real advantage of using the federated protocols, I mean, well, if we step back a bit, I mean, you've got a server in Active Directory using Kerberos, right?
Right.
The server has a tightly coupled relationship with your Active Directory.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, but with federated protocols such as SAML, such as, SAML-P is the protocol,
right.
The WS Federation. You have a relationship that you establish between, let's say, the target resource server
mm-hmm.
and the identity provider. That relationship's established. But once it's established, there's no traffic that goes between the two.
Right. Once you've got the token, you're done.
Yeah. So, well, it's decoupled. It's once you've got the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So when the client comes along, it is actually going to go to the resource server. The resource mm-hmm. server says, I don't know who you are, but I know someone I trust. Go ask them for a token.
Right, right.
And it's just a standard HTTP or under HTTPS, but it's an HTTP redirect.
Right.
Which takes you up to the actual security token service. And security token service says, oh, yes, okay. Log you in, authenticate you, gives you back the security token,
mm-hmm.
which is crafted specifically for the resource you want to go to.
Right.
And that means that resource server, because we've got no coupling between the resource server and the authentication server, the resource server can be absolutely anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be on your premises. It can be on your partner's premises. It can be in the cloud.
Right.
And how do we authenticate to it in exactly the same way?
Yeah. It's really interesting, you know, that when all these pieces work right, it's pretty compelling. The trick is making it all work.
You say, yeah, I know. You sound a skeptic.
Well, it's remarkably debug resistant, isn't it? Like when things go wrong, trying to track down these problems is not easy because you're generally thrown a stone wall. No.
Well, yes and no. You basically, if you want to see what's happening on the wire,
yeah.
it's a very clearly defined protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a very simple protocol because if you think about it in terms of the authentication, most of the time it's a browser that's doing the authentication.
Yes.
So it's got to be everything a browser can support.
Yeah.
So
which is HTTP basically TLS,
gets,
right?
Well, if we take it down to the, rather than the transport security,
right.
I mean, it's just basically, it's HTTP gets, it's puts,
yeah.
you know, it's redirects,
yeah.
and all of that just has to work in posts.
Just nothing fancy.
Nothing fancy at all.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need to do is we need to look at it and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Challenges, you look at it and see what's going on with a network sniffer, and as you write,
it's all encrypted.
It's all encrypted. So you look at that and you say, what's going on? You don't
I can't
have
see
a
anything.
Huge clue. So what you need is something along the lines of Fiddler.
Right.
And in fact, I would say you need Fiddler because I
love Fiddler.
Yeah, I've used Fiddler for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it always surprises me, you know, in a presentation, you ask how many people are using Fiddler. And it really should be everyone's hands
yeah,
going
up. It's a free tool, guys. Just go get it.
It's a free tool, and it's a really good free
yeah.
tool.
And the fact that it's in the browser, so that it's using the browser's termination of TLS, so you get the decryptive packets. You're just seeing what the browser actually got.
But it's not.
Oh, it's not?
No, it's not. It's outside of the browser.
Oh.
You can get things like HTTP watch, etc., that actually integrate in with the browser.
Right.
What actually happens with using Fiddler is it effectively performs a man-in-the-middle attack.
it's a friendly man.
It's a friendly man, and it sets itself up as a proxy.
Okay.
So your browser actually
it's bound to WinINet?
Yes.
Okay.
So your browser actually talks to the proxy,
mm-hmm.
all right? And then having talked to the proxy, what happens is the proxy terminates the SSL session.
Right.
And you have to accept the fact that Fiddler is going to spoof the certificate for you.
Right.
Right?
So your browser is going to complain. Will your browser complain about that?
No, because what you have to do is you have to put the fiddler certificate in your root store.
Oh, okay.
Right? So this is very much a testing. You make sure you clear all these fiddler certificates out before you. But it means that fiddler can terminate the session.
Right.
Can then log all of the traffic. Mm-hmm. And then it remakes the HTTP session to the target system.
Right, using its certificate so that your browser's happy.
So you've been terminated by the spoof certificate.
Right.
And then it will just connect to the certificate on the destination machine.
And the destination machine knows no different.
The destination machine knows no different, with the exception of to prevent man-in-the-middle attacks.
Yeah.
There was a thing called channel binding, and you got extended protection on IIS servers.
Okay.
And if you've got extended protection on, when you actually go to authenticate, you'll find that the authentication dialogue will come up. You put your username and password in.
Right.
And the authentication dialogue will come up, and you say, oh, I must have got the password wrong.
Yeah.
Username, password. And then the authentication dialogue will come up. And there's some very obscure error message. If you look on the target server, like, unable to authenticate you, and you sit and scratch your head for a while.
Yeah.
And what it is, it's this extended protection. It's aware of the fact that the SSL channel has been broken.
Right.
Because what happens is the authentication channel and the SSL channel are bound together.
Yeah.
And when it gets to the other end, of course, they're not bound together anymore because they were terminated by Fiddler.
Right.
And Fiddler's sitting in the middle. So, again, to use Fiddler, for a target, you might have to turn that off. With the current implementation of ADFS, with the server 2012 mm-hmm. R2 implementation of ADFS, you don't have to worry. It's not actually using this channel binding.
Oh, okay.
So it's not an issue.
It's not going to interfere with things. And sort of getting back to the story, when you actually want to watch this process going on, you can see the handshakes of the security tokens, getting your identity and getting the security token back from you. If you're through Fiddler.
Yeah, actually, I mean, what you'll see is you'll see the user hit the resource server.
Right.
The resource server saying, hey, here's a redirect. Go to the security token service.
Right.
And in the redirect, what you'll see is the action it wants you to perform, which is sign in.
Right.
All right. So it gives you the URL to go to. Mm-hmm. And then it's a sign in. And then you specifies the realm you're signing in for,
right.
i.e. the resource server that you want a token for.
Mm-hmm.
And then it specifies another couple of parameters, right? You then go through the process of actually, interacting with the security token service, which is your ADFS server. And you might have a thing called home realm discovery happening. You might have forms authentication. It might go off and, you might go off and get a Kerberos token.
Right.
But after you've authenticated with the ADFS server, what it will do is it will give you a 200 OK.
Yeah.
Right. Plus a raft of cookies. And those cookies allow you to come back and just seamlessly authenticate against the ADFS server. So having this page that you get back is actually a hidden form with a post method.
No kidding.
Yep. And down the bottom of the hidden form is a submit button.
Yeah.
A little bit of JavaScript to automatically submit it. Where does it get submitted to? It gets submitted to the resource server.
Right.
And inside that page is a SAML token.
Okay.
And in the SAML token, it has all the claims that user has. So UPN, maybe group membership, or whatever you want to put in there.
Whatever claims you end up having. Yeah. Most of the time, it's just the roles you're in.
And that's digitally signed.
Yeah.
It can, if you want it to be encrypted as well.
Yes.
But as a minimum, it's digitally signed.
Yes.
That's then received by the resource server. The resource server will say, ah, okay, let's check the signature.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's on the ADFS server, there's a token signing certificate. On the resource server, there is the public key of the token signing certificate.
Right.
And so it identifies it. So as part of the initial establishment of trust, the security token service tells the resource server what signing certificate it will be using.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to tell it directly.
Yeah.
You can tell it through an exchange of federation metadata, or you can manually configure it all. Anyway, it's arrived. We've got the token. We've checked the signature, And if the signature is valid, we say this token is proof of identity and entitlements for the connecting user.
Right.
And we're in.
And that's a couple of seconds, you know?
Yeah, okay. It's pretty quicker than that. It depends where you're going. Of course, it's internet protocol.
Yeah.
So, you know.
The internet is not always fast.
If you're going to go and visit someone in Australia, Federation.
A couple of hundred milliseconds of latency for each round trip.
Yeah. And of course, if you decide that you work out of the Hawaii office where your ADFS server is.
Right.
And you're sitting in London at the time. No, actually, London is probably raining. So you're sitting in the south of France.
Yeah, someplace sunny.
Yes, somewhere sunny on the beach, and you're trying to access this server in Sydney with authentication in Maui. Maui. You got a few round trips.
Yeah, it's going to go hither and yon.
But once it's happened, of course, what's going to happen is the target server is going to take the token, validate it, mm-hmm. and then it's going to give you back cookies.
Right.
So as you're going back to the server, you're not going through what I call the Federation dance.
Right. Go through that whole thing anymore. That's the whole point.
So if you trust another security token service, then the dance gets a little bit more complicated. But
so they don't just add more cookies onto the equation?
No. So it's in terms of the token presented to the target server, that mm-hmm. will be identical.
Right.
So what's happening is the resource server will redirect you to the security token service it trusts.
Right.
Now that security token service can authenticate you, or it can redirect you to another security token service that does the authentication.
Right.
Which in turn could redirect you to another one that does the authentication.
So you can get into these evil chains.
You can chain them,
And you can get into a circular reference, too.
Oh, you can. And you can get into some very evil chains.
Yes.
Just because you trust the security token service and everything's working beautifully.
Yeah.
And then they trust your arch rival. you could end up allowing the arch rival in if you're not careful. So you need to manage that very carefully.
Yeah. Well, and you don't want these chains to get long. This should be pretty short.
Yes, you certainly don't want them to get long. And a part of this is you are trusting another partner organization or another organization.
Yes.
And that's a business relationship, that trust, mm-hmm. as much as it is a practical ADFS.
That's sort of technical federated relationship.
Yes. And so as part of the business process where you go through and establish this trust, mm-hmm. you've got to define, what the rules are. Define the rules of engagement for the trust.
Where do you see OAuth fitting into this equation now? Because it just seemed to be evolving.
Okay, so this again is interesting. Take it back a few years, mm-hmm. and the authentication protocol that was used in the enterprise.
Yep.
Was probably SAML.
Right.
Right. And then WS Star came along,
yes.
which is WS Trust, WS Security, WS Federation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're dealing with a browser, it's WS Federation.
Yep.
And Microsoft have championed that in the .NET WIF, so the Windows Identity Foundation,
yes.
Has all the support for that built in. And then you have the consumer world.
Right.
Where you got the likes of people wanting to go to LinkedIn and getting LinkedIn to automatically update their Facebook wall.
Right.
And, all those sorts of things. Going to a company that prints photos. Where are your photos? They're on another service. Service provider. And we need to federate that.
Mm-hmm. And these are sort of temporary federations too, but in a much broader reaching way.
Yeah, they can be, or they could be. They can be fairly permanent as well. It's
the mechanism that allows you to tell Facebook, yes, let LinkedIn have access to my photos.
Yeah,
well, it's a form of federation.
It is federation, yes, mm-hmm. and you give consent.
Yeah.
So the trouble is with WS Fed and with SAML, it mm-hmm. uses a heavyweight token.
Right.
It's a heavyweight XML token.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
hard. Well, that was always a complete WS Star.
It's hard work to parse it. It's hard work to, to create it and all the rest
and
of it.
And you don't want to haul it around either.
Yeah, and you don't want it on little handheld devices and all that.
Yeah.
So you know, the if you like, the consumers went a different way, and they went down through, there's been lots of different protocols that have come and gone, but OAuth2 is now a simple protocol.
Mm-hmm.
It uses a lightweight token. So what you had is you had the SAML token, and then you had this thing called a SWAT, or a simple web token.
Right.
Problem with that is it was too simple.
It didn't know enough.
So beyond that was the JSON web token, and the JSON web token now is pretty much the de facto token used for OAuth.
Right.
So we're now at OAuth2. The OAuth2 is a framework. It doesn't define what the token should be.
Right.
So you could transport a SAML token in for OAuth2.
Mm-hmm.
But if we look at where we're going most of the time, we're going from apps on handheld devices to web services.
Right. Right? And that's the bulk.
And these days, it's probably REST web services.
Yeah, yeah.
And these days, web REST services are secured by OAuth2.
Yes.
All right. So access to them. So OAuth2 has become really, really important to us. So if we look at ADFS, do we have an implementation of OAuth2 in it? And now we do. So that's there.
This is as of 2012 R2.
2012 R2.
Of ADFS.
Of ADFS.
Because I would never say version 3.
We never say version 3.
One of the features added in this particular incarnation.
So that's in there. There's a number of what we called grants that happen with OAuth2. And if you're interested, it only supports one type at the moment, which is the code grant.
Okay.
Is that
a claim then, a code grant?
So what a code grant is you basically, you get a redirect, mm-hmm. right? And you get a redirect and you're sent up to the authorization server,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is in this particular instance is ADFS,
right?
And what it gives you back is a code, right? The code comes back to the browser, right? Which is effectively your user agent.
Okay.
So what it allows you to do, it allows you to have a browser talking to a web service, right? So it goes off and gets a code back, right? And the code is all that comes back to the browser. So the code goes back to the web service that is going to call another web service.
Okay.
Right. And what the web service is going to call the other web service does, let's call the other web service the resource service.
Right.
So our web app is going to call the resource service. What will happen is the web app will go and translate the code into a bearer token. And
okay.
It does that by calling back. So basically ADFS gives a code back and then we change the code into a bearer token
to be passed to the resource
server.
Okay.
And just to confuse things, our server that is actually calling to the resource server, that's the server that's doing that. It's called the client.
right.
It's sort of terminology.
Oh, man.
This is OAuth2 terminology.
Right.
And the client will need to be registered with the authorization server.
Mm-hmm.
And it will have a client ID. It will also have a client secret. So now that client has got, well, client server, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Has actually got the code, which came back from the first thing.
Right.
And what it does, it submits the code plus its client ID,
mm-hmm.
plus its client secret, which is like its password.
Right.
And that's all presented up to the authorization server, which is
right.
And the authorization server says, yep, I understand the client. Yes, the password's right.
Right.
I will translate this code into the bearer token. So now we got the bearer token back, and the bearer token actually accesses the back-end service.
So, I mean, and this is a way to avoid impersonation and having to let the resource know some of these front-end identities so it can have its own set of privileges and authorizations, but it's only accessible from this quote client service when it gets a bearer token.
Yes. I mean, the other thing to bear in mind, this is all gets a bit esoteric and the OAuth2 mm-hmm. is not an authentication protocol.
Right.
It's an authorization protocol.
Right.
And if you look at it from a perspective when you're using it in some of the, you know, social networks,
mm-hmm.
what will happen is you will effectively authorize LinkedIn to gain access to components of Facebook on your behalf.
Right.
Right.
And you that was the goal. I want you to get those email addresses.
Yes. And you have what's called a consent page.
Mm-hmm.
Right. With ADFS implementation, there is no consent page because the administrator is setting it up.
Right.
And therefore, the assumption is the administrator wants this to happen.
Yeah, it's a signed privilege.
So it happens. Yeah. Now, if we use the OAuth 2 protocol in Windows Azure Active Directory.
Yes.
Provided it's a multi-tenanted app, you will actually get there's an actual common consent framework that's implemented. So you will get the consent page up.
Okay.
Now, just to finish the story, OAuth is an authorization protocol.
Right.
Right. And various organizations use the OAuth as an authentication protocol, which it absolutely is not, and said, come and, you know, you can use us to authenticate to your website using OAuth, the authorization component. And actually meant potentially hackers could gain access to other websites through.
Wow.
There was a layer put on top of that, which was sort of proprietary. So Google did it one way, Facebook did it another way.
Mm-hmm.
And that evolved into OpenID Connect.
Right.
So OAuth doesn't mandate how you authenticate.
Right.
OAuth doesn't mandate the token format.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So how do you authenticate with OAuth where you could authenticate the user using SAML, WS Federation?
Right.
Right. But if you want to go, the next step is the layer on top of that is the OpenID Connect.
Okay.
And OpenID Connect mandates the JSON Web Token format.
All right.
So it's, you know, it gets fairly complicated and it gets a bit mind blowing as to what's going on.
Yeah. It's a lot of different pieces together. For folks that have been using ADFS and the SAML token approach, do you want to introduce OAuth into this equation at all? Like, now that you've got the new version, it's like, I don't think I want to change anything I'm already doing, if that's working. It's just when we want to introduce new services that might be consumer-centric where OAuth would be valuable, that would make sense.
Yes, except what's happened is that Microsoft, the workplace joins using OAuth.
Well, and this is dealing with this. I get this feeling that like Active Directory is coming down around us just because we now have heterogeneous clients that will never join Active Directory. And we need this workplace join approach that's lighter weight and doesn't support all of these same things.
Yes. It's the workplace join is actually very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, when you do a workplace join, you have to provide your credentials.
Right.
And you join the device to, the workplace.
Right.
Right.
Such
as that is. And what will happen at that point is you get a certificate deployed onto the device and you get an object, a device object created in the Active Directory.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And in that device object is the owner of the device
mm-hmm.
plus the operating system version, whether the device is registered for management and various other, device specific settings.
Yes.
Right. So now when that device reconnects, what we do is we check the certificate,
mm-hmm.
we check the device object is valid,
right,
and we check the user's valid,
right.
Right. And if they are, we're in,
right. Right.
And what happens then is you actually end up with a persistent cookie on mm-hmm. the device, which means next time you come along, you don't have to authenticate because we've got a persistent cookie against the ADFS server.
Right. We're just going to trust that.
Yeah. And we just trust that. But you lose the device. Well, the administrator just kills the device object,
mm-hmm.
It disables the user account. And what will happen is the next attempt, you'll be required to log in again.
Right.
But the next very good thing in ADFS, I can't say 3.
Right.
Yeah, you know the one.
Yes.
So the 2012 R2. the really great thing there is now we can make access decisions based on the fact of whether the device is workplace joined,
right,
as in registered or not. So what we could do is we could say, all unregistered devices, we use multi-factor authentication.
Right, yeah. This is a great opportunity to introduce that.
Yeah, and that can be done through the global policy.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could do something like, you could say, everyone can use application A, B, and C, but application D, because we've got some more secure on stuff on there,
right,
they must use multi-factor for.
Right.
And so you can actually control multi-factor, whether it has to be used from the internet, whether it's used on the intranet,
mm-hmm,
whether it's used based on group membership. So some people have to use multi-factor where others don't.
Right.
And that could be a permissioning issue on the application.
Sure.
So, you know, you might be an administrator.
Yeah, and you have special privileges on this app, so we need you to authenticate more thoroughly.
We need to do that.
Risk is more significant.
Yeah. So we've got location, and then you could have it based on the device object.
Right.
So you can actually, you know, you can make authorization decisions saying that you're going to refuse access to, no, I better not say it, iOS devices.
A fruit device.
Yes, a different device. Or those are the only devices you're going to allow in, you know.
So, of course.
So because you've in terms of the workplace join, you mm-hmm know, you can workplace join a Windows 8.1 machine, a Windows 7 machine.
Right.
Actually, there's a caveat on the Windows 7 machine. It has to be a domain joined Windows 7 machine.
Oh, no. Yep. Okay.
And iOS, version 6 upwards. So, and Android through Android NOC. So,
okay,
you know, it's finally, it's been recognized
we're
that
starting
there are
to get
other devices out there.
There are other things in this world.
Apart from Windows.
Now, maybe this is not current, but I am really starting to enjoy, not current for the latest version of ADFS, but I am really starting to enjoy sites that are doing the multi-factor authentication per session. So I've got Bitcoins, for example, and when I go to Coinbase, every time I log into Coinbase, it'll immediately ask me for a code and it will text me the code.
Mm-hmm.
So that for this session, I have to do that second factor. And to me, that raises my confidence level.
Yes.
This session is specific. There's no tokens carried forward. You have to start over. But I'm not sure that this latest version is there yet. This is really about establishing that once, and once you have the token, you're good for a while. The idea of per session multi-factors is not really come to rest.
Well, it's once you've actually authenticated to the resource server, right?
Yeah.
You get a cookie.
Yes.
That says you're authenticated. Now, it's up to the resource server to say how long that cookie's valid
right
for. Okay. As soon as you come back and the cookie's no longer valid, you'll be redirected
we'll be
to
doing it
authenticate again.
So I could set up that cookie to last an hour.
Yeah, or you can have it 10 minutes.
Right.
And
effectively create this multi-factor re-authenticate every time a new session started.
So you can be redirected back to the ADFS server, mm-hmm, you will have, of course, you'll have, at that point, you'll have a session cookie with the ADFS server. So you'd have to find a way of killing that session cookie as well. So, but, you know, there's lots of flexibility in what you can actually do.
And it speaks to the possibilities. I feel like we're coming out of the wilderness in identity, you know, lately. After a lot of false starts, this latest set of technology is making people happy. They can live with it. You know, it's not too frustrating, and it gives us confidence that things are actually secure.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's happened is that the Federation protocols have settled down.
Right.
Right. So it was all about, you know, Enterprise, SAML, it's Enterprise, WS Federation.
Yes.
But really it didn't meet the requirements of nice REST APIs. You were using WS Trust and SOAP calls to backend systems.
Massive blobs of XML.
Oh, and horrendous to set up. So that settled down. So actually sort of pretty much settling on OAuth 2. And mm-hmm, I would imagine OAuth 2 is going to be around for a while.
Yes. OAuth 2 and OpenID Connect
together. OpenID Connect. I mean, there was OpenID, which is now really being depreciated, which was an SSO, a single sign-on protocol that was used by quite a few providers for a while. Actually, just interesting, I'm just thinking about Google used to support it.
Yes.
And now they say they're depreciating it.
Yeah.
I think in 2015, I can't remember the exact date, they will no longer support it at all. So they're given a nice cutover period.
Yeah. And with an effective alternative.
Yeah. So it's sort of really to answer your question, things have settled down, right? Mm-hmm. So now the technology can implement something.
Yes.
And have a good chance that it is going to meet standards that will work across multi-platform.
Yeah.
Because that's the issue. You see,
sure.
See, you know, there are standards and we all know that there are standards.
Yes.
And there are never standards that lock us standard.
In. Yeah. Standards that lock you into a vendor and standards that let you span vendors.
Yes.
They're not the same things.
And what we've got to be able to do with in this sort of, I call it an identity mashup.
Right.
But you can call it a nice hybrid identity. In this mashup of identity, we have to interoperate successfully and easily.
That's the world as it is today.
Yeah.
John, it's so much fun talking to you. Thanks a lot for coming on the show. And I wish it had been sooner, but it will happen again.
Okay, well, thanks for inviting me. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.